Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The land of Israel lay under Roman control. The people paid heavy taxes. They were under supervision. They lived under foreign oppression. But they still had a firm belief that God would send the Messiah as he promised. And they hoped that this Messiah would rise up and that he would drive away these foreign, oppressive, occupying forces from their land. But the Messiah was a long time coming. It had been thousands of years now since God had first made that promise to send the Savior. And the Bible tells us that John went into the whole region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. John stirred things up. He stirred up people's hearts. He pointed out their sin. He called the self-righteous people to repentance, calling them offspring of vipers. He called on them to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. God, through his prophet, called John a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." When John the Baptist was born, his father Zechariah, whose son's birth the angel had announced to him, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied about his newborn son's future ministry, saying that he would go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And that's exactly what John did. He prepared the hearts of the people for the coming, the imminent coming of the Savior Jesus. John excited them through his preaching. He stirred them up and he encouraged them to begin taking heart again because God's salvation was near. Now, John's powerful preaching, his eccentric character clothed in camel's hair and out there in the wilderness eating locusts, grasshoppers, and wild honey, it certainly attracted people's attention, and people were asking questions about whether John was the Messiah. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 3, we read, "The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John could be the Christ." Many years that they had been waiting, that they had been occupied at various times by different imperial forces, had dulled and dimmed the hope that had been in their hearts. But now, when John came boldly preaching, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near," their hearts once again were lifted up. Their minds were awakened, and they were ripe to hear this message that John was proclaiming. The message raised their hopes of the Messiah again. And the words of John focused their hearts and their minds on those promises about the Savior that God had made centuries before that time. And so John did exactly what the prophet had predicted about him, that he would prepare the way of the Lord, make paths straight for him, paths in our hearts to receive the coming of the Savior. And we read in Luke chapter 3 what John's message to the people was. He said, "I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." John was preaching about the one who would very soon come, and the difference between that great one and himself. He says, "I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie the dusty and dirty strap of his sandal." This mightier one who was coming would also do something greater than John was doing. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He would fill them. He would empower them with the Holy Spirit. Do you think they understood what John meant by those words? Do we even really understand fully what John meant by those words? Did they catch a glimpse of the changes that was to come into their hearts once they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Perhaps not. We read later on, towards the end of the gospel, according to Luke, that some of Jesus' own disciples said in dismay and in disbelief after Jesus had died and was buried, they said, "We were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel." But now they didn't think that that was possible anymore because Jesus had died and was buried. John preached, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." And Jesus proclaimed, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But John's preaching did have its effect, as the preaching of God's word always will have its effect. Our text says, when all the people were being baptized. Yes, the people did come. Many people came. In fact, it says that people, all the people from the surrounding area of Judea and Jerusalem were coming out to hear John preach and to be baptized. Many people did repent of their sins. They were baptized, trusting in God's promise of forgiveness, having rekindled hope in the imminent arrival of the Savior God had promised. And then Luke also adds, Jesus was baptized too. When God's time was just right, Jesus was also baptized. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. When he was born in human likeness and his appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself. So we see Jesus not in power and glory and earthly might with armies and soldiers and heralds coming before him, but in the form of a humble man. They're coming to be baptized together with all the other crowds of people who were going out to John to be baptized. Why was he baptized? To take away his sins? To receive the forgiveness of sins? Of course not. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, he did not commit a sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. So then why? Why was Jesus baptized? We see from the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, the voice of God the Father speaking from heaven at that time, that this was his formal induction into his office as Savior. It was the beginning of his public ministry, of that road that led ultimately to the cross and to the grave, but then to his empty tomb, and ultimately to his heavenly throne in glory at the Father's right hand. Jesus' baptism was another one of the signs of him becoming fully one of us, doing fully what God the Father wanted him to do for our salvation. And we read that after Jesus was baptized, he was there praying about that mission that he was now about to embark upon. And as he was praying, we read that heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." God the Father personally, verbally, identifies Jesus as his Son. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. The Father speaks out, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." Imagine being there and hearing that voice of God the Father speaking from heaven, seeing this miraculous sign of the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove down upon Jesus, but clearly a supernatural manifestation of God himself. Imagine how awestruck the people who were there and witnessed with their eyes and ears that voice and that appearance of God must have been. It's perfectly clear. God the Father approves of this, his Son. And so we recognize him as the Savior. We recognize Jesus taking upon himself the work of being the world's Savior. He has truly become our brother in human flesh and blood. As John said about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. By Jesus preaching and teaching, he reveals God the Father, And he also sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to teach us and to fill us with all of God's wisdom and understanding. But he also comes with fire. And so John says in verse 17, his winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There lies his work, to send the Holy Spirit to gather and to separate the wheat from the chaff, believers from unbelievers. And so by his coming, Jesus carried out the promise of God the Father for centuries and for millennia before this time, to send a Savior to rescue people from their sins. God the Son reveals God the Father to us. He declares him to us. He became flesh and blood and then set out on that long, weary road that ends finally in the empty tomb after he rose from the dead. The work and the words of Jesus opens our eyes to see the life that we have through him. God promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. By this promise, all disciples of Jesus are filled with a fire, the zeal of his love, to go and tell others about this good news, about the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation that he has won for us. That message of salvation is always accompanied by this other message, by the message of the winnowing shovel, the unquenchable fire. Yes, the Messiah, the Savior, died to save us. But in doing so, he also said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so there's also the message of warning there. The one who ignores this, who does not believe in Jesus as the Savior, who rejects this free grace and salvation that God has provided through his own Son, that one is tragically doomed to the eternal fire of hell. And so the Jesus so sweet, Jesus so mild, becomes the thresher who burns up the chaff in unquenchable fire. The writer to the Hebrews puts it rather starkly in chapter 10. How much greater punishment do you think will be deserved by the person who trampled the Son of God underfoot, who considered insignificant the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who insulted the Spirit of grace? In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes that for those who, out of selfish ambition, are disobeying what is true and obeying what is wrong, God will pour out his furious anger. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would walk in a new life. That is the secret that the baptism of Jesus, of what the baptism of Jesus really means. Here we see Jesus taking on fully our human nature, except without sin. He fully took on our human flesh and blood and lived among us. And by his baptism, he begins the work of our redemption. His work, his death upon the cross, his full obedience of God's commands in our place, his work that saves us and brings mighty changes into our lives by changing our hearts from within. Do we believe what God the Father said about him? Does our belief show itself in our daily lives? Jesus is the Christ, the Savior. God the Father himself said so. God made sure through these signs that we would recognize him as the Savior. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one God promised through his prophets in the Old Testament again and again. God's Spirit draws people to himself to believe in Jesus as the Savior and changes us from within. We can see that happening all around us. We can feel that happening within us as the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts the fire of his love. At Jesus' baptism, heaven was opened and the voice of God the Father itself spoke out in testimony about him. At Jesus' birth, a heavenly host of angels sang, announcing the birth of the Savior that God had promised. Jesus' life brought peace, calm, healing, and forgiveness to many. And then ultimately, he showed himself as the master of the grave. We know very well all of these facts about how Jesus has saved us. So today, as we commemorate the baptism of Jesus, does this message still thrill us? Fill us with joy and awe and wonder? Does it still lead us to live as new creatures filled by the Holy Spirit? Just as the people at Jesus' time who had been waiting long decades and even generations for God to fulfill his promise to send the Messiah, the Savior. Sometimes for us also, our hope can become dull. Our faith can become weary. We can grow weary of doing good and of following God's will for our lives. But the words of the Father are still true for us. This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him. Think about in our day and age how so many people are simply not content to live with God's word as the ultimate source of revelation and spiritual guidance. People go and look for in all kinds of different places for some kind of enlightenment and spiritual guidance or fulfillment. People look to the stars and the movement and position of the planets and to the horoscope. Some people look for at palm reading or tarot cards to try to find something out about their future. Some go in for crystals and chakras and all kinds of different mystical things like that. Others treat nature as a goddess and go out into nature looking for enlightenment. But you, dear brother and sister in Christ, have been baptized in the name of the triune God. And so you have the assurance that all of your sins have been washed away by the blood of your Savior Jesus, that you are God's own dearly loved child for Jesus' sake. Trust God's word, which says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Remember the baptism of Jesus. Remember the Holy Spirit descending on him and the voice of God the Father testifying about him. There, at the baptism of Jesus, we come face to face with the grace and the glory of God. And this Jesus baptism reminds us of the forgiveness of sins and the salvation that he has won for us, which God has given to us through baptism. So may this lift our hearts and fill our hearts with hope and with peace, with joy and with awe at God's great salvation for us. Jesus is baptized. He became one of us. He became our Savior from sin. Amen.